Hey, 1 Samuel chapter 18. This morning, 1 Samuel 18, although you probably already knew that because it's on the monitor right there. But 1 Samuel 18, we're going to read a few verses. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, we're going to read the first four verses of this chapter. Then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at the subject of best friends. Today is Friends Sunday, as you folks probably know, and we love the idea of friendship. Obviously, it's friendship is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I came up with something. I think I came up with it. It's one of those things, and I don't know. It's a little bit of a quote or a little, just a couple word phrase, and I thought I came up with it, but I probably did hear it somewhere. But it's the idea of no man is an island, but I is capitalized with a, you know, with little quotes around it. But think about it. No man is an island. I mean, you can think, oh, I'm by myself, I'm a lone wolf, you know. But the fact is that friendship is a wonderful thing. And we're going to look at a few things here this morning about friendship in regards to the Lord, the church, and how it can and help us as we go forward for the Lord. But 1 Samuel chapter number 18, we'll look at the first four verses. Then we'll have a word of prayer and get into the message this morning. It says, if you would just follow along with me, it says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, what a blessing it is to meet in the house of the Lord. And what a blessing it is for me to be able to preach. Lord, share just a few thoughts of what you've laid on my heart regarding this idea of friendship. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take these things and Lord, use them and help us to surround ourselves with friends that will help us be better Christians, be better servants of you. I pray that you bless now this time, be with everything that is said, and I pray that it would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There were two friends that were hiking up in the mountains in the western United States, and they were hiking and going along, and one of the friends looked at the other one and said, "Bear." Looked at him and they stopped and he looked over at his friend and he saw his friend reaching in his pack and pulling out some running shoes. He said, "What, don't you know you can't outrun a bear? What are you doing?" He said, "I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you." So I'm not sure if that's the best epitome of friendship. Maybe they could try something else, maybe they could both get away, but hey, if it comes down to you or your friend, just make sure you're the faster runner. But nonetheless, that's probably not the best example of friendship. But the fact is that we all should want to be friends. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." And I was, when I was doing some research, I've known for a few weeks that I was going to be preaching on Friends Sunday, and I was looking up just some different commentary on that verse and looking through some different things. And one of the commentaries I was reading, they quoted another version of that verse, and it said, It said that a man that has many friends may come to ruin. And I said to myself, I even told Deanne, I said, that doesn't even mean the same thing. Like, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That means to have a friend, you got to be a friend, right? We all have known that for years, and we know that verse. You probably learned it in junior church. And I just, that got me thinking, and my mind just took me down total different tracks of Bible versions and things of that nature. But the fact of the matter is that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If we're gonna have friends and we're gonna be someone who is known as someone who has friends, then we're gonna have to be friendly, right? There's nothing worse than someone that you're trying to be friends with, but they don't want to be friends with you. You try to talk to them and they're cold. You try to strike up a conversation, they don't want to talk to you. But the fact is that especially in the Christian life, we need to have friends, and we need to have friends that are good Christian friends that are gonna help us stand for the Lord. Because if it's fine to have friends at work and acquaintances and things of that nature, maybe friends, just someone you guys have a common interest, you go golfing together or whatever the case may be, it's fine to have those friends. But if you're going to want to be encouraged for the Lord, then you're going to have Christian friends. You're going to have good solid friendships with good solid Christians. And I think that's a very good argument for the church. It's hard to find Christians when you're just walking around. You say, it doesn't usually, that's not usually where you lead. I mean, if you go following, yeah, are you going to heaven? But when you're just walking in Walmart and you bump into someone, you say, oh, I'm sorry, are you a Christian? You know, like, do you want to be my friend? But no, we don't usually approach things that way. But when you're in church, you can look around and you say, hey, I can become friends with these people. And these people are going to try to help me become a better Christian. They're going to try to help me stand for Christ. They're going to encourage me to be attended to the services. They're going to try to help me be closer to God. And that's a wonderful thing. So we're going to look at four things really, but three things that our friends can help us. And then one, the most important point is here at the end. But we see here, getting into the message, we see first that friends are good for strength. Friends are good for strength. Keeping with this story of Jonathan and David, if you turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 23, a few pages down, we know how David would go and would play the harp for King Saul when he was basically had a bad attitude, when the evil spirit of the Lord was come upon him. And we know that twice he tried to throw his spear at him and spear him to the wall. And we see here that where we started in chapter 18 was when Saul had said that David wasn't going to be able to go home anymore. He was going to be there to serve the king and to help him and to play the harp for him and things of that nature. And then we saw that how the soul of David and the soul of Jonathan were knit together. And I think when we think of biblical friendship, probably Jonathan and David, most of us, if you've been in church any length of time, that's probably the person or the two people that you think of. You think of Jonathan and David and the amazing friendship that they had. But we see this continued. We see how through chapter, the rest of chapter 18 and then 19, 20, 21, 22. And if you're reading the great stories of the Bible, our reading schedule that we have on the counter there, you're just reading these stories within the last couple days. And we see here how David is fleeing from King Saul. The king has tried to spear him already twice to the wall while he's playing the harp. He's gotten away. He's searching for his life. He's trying to kill him. He's trying to make him... He knows he's going to be the next king. The Lord has already told Saul that he wasn't going to let the kingdom continue through his generations. And he knows David is going to become the next king. And so he wants to cut off David from that opportunity. He even uses that as an enticement against Jonathan. He says, don't you know that he's going to be the king and not you? Don't you want to help me chase him down because he's going to take your position? But we see here, in all of this, David is fleeing from King Saul. He's hiding. We see here that he's hiding in the woods. We're going to pick up in verse number 15 of 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 15, it says, And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Strengthened his hand in God. We see that friends are good for strength. There are going to be times in our lives as Christians when we're down, when we are discouraged, when there's something going on in our lives that we're not even going to talk about. But there are problems that we're having that we don't even talk. The only person that knows it is God and us. But the fact is that the camaraderie that you can have, the strength that can be given through Christian friends is something that is invaluable. You can talk to, maybe you don't even tell them the situation, but how wonderful it is when a friend of yours comes up and just says, I'm praying for you. Maybe there's something going on that has happened in your life and it's something that's, maybe people do know about it, but they don't know how hard it has been on you. They know something that's gone on in your life or something that has happened, but they don't realize what's happened in your heart, and they just say, hey, I know you were going through that, and I'm praying for you. Maybe they don't even know how important that is. Maybe they don't even realize what a blessing that is. But it is a wonderful thing. It gives you strength to go on. It gives you strength to continue. There are times when we're low, when we're down, when we're in trouble or going through a trial or a temptation or a tribulation in our lives, when the only thing that will help is the strength we can get from God and the strength we can get from our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why I think it's so important, and you're going to see a correlation with each of these points, how important I think it is to be in church, to be part of a local church so that you can join hand in hand with someone who's trying to accomplish the same things, trying to go forward for God, trying to do more for Him, that can help you, and we're going to get there in just a second, but help you when you're down, help you when you're going through something, can help you press on for God. We see that friends are good for strength. But not only are friends good for strength, friends are good for service. If you would turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, it says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. We see here in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he's saying, bring Mark with you because he is profitable for me for the ministry. We see only Luke was with him. Luke was someone who, if you read through the epistles of Paul, Luke was someone who was truly a friend to the Apostle Paul. But we see here that he's saying even Mark is someone who is profitable for him for the ministry. Then we see in the book of Ecclesiastes, the verse we just read, it says two are better than one. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. What does that mean? It says two. That means two can accomplish more than one can accomplish. What's the old saying? There's strength in numbers. And we know that to be true in many aspects of life, and that's true in the Christian life as well. Now, I know that one, just you and God is a majority, but how wonderful it is to have more than one. How wonderful it is to have people who are there to help you serve, to help you go forward for God, who when you go out and you want to go door knocking, someone that can go with you when you're trying to do something for the Lord, who you're trying to serve Him to the best of your ability. There's someone there who maybe someone to mentor you along the way, or maybe someone to just say, hey, let me help you do that. Let me help you with whatever it may be. Friends are good for service. The Apostle Paul writes often about certain friends. We know there were ones who forsook him. We know Demas forsook him. We know Alexander the coppersmith was someone who tried to do him much harm and withstood against him. But we see Timothy, what a wonderful friendship he and Timothy had. Paul and Silas, a wonderful friendship. Paul and Barnabas, I know they kind of parted ways for a little bit, but what wonderful friends they were. Paul and Luke, as we talked about, Paul and John Mark, even friends that were willing to serve together, willing to work for the Lord, and so many more. When you read the epistles, as I said, of the Apostle Paul, he talks about friend after friend, people who helped him, people who refreshed him, people who just did something for him. It was not even, a lot of times it wasn't even anything too big. You just read about some of the stuff and it's like, oh wow, that was we were at their house or something like that, and it's like, oh well, that's not too hard. But Paul mentions them as a friend to him. Friends are good for service. When we serve the Lord, it's not always easy. I know that we like to think of, oh, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to go forward, and it's just going to be just a wonderful thing. And it is a wonderful thing to serve the Lord, but that doesn't mean it's always an easy thing. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you don't want to get up on Saturday morning and go out soul winning. Sometimes you don't want to come home from work on Wednesday and come to Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. Sometimes you don't want to come back for the evening service. Sometimes it's hard to make it to all the services. Sometimes it's hard to make it to the things that are maybe extra. But the fact of the matter is, it's wonderful to have your friends that will encourage you to serve the Lord. It's wonderful to have your friends that will help you stand for the Lord and help you serve the Lord. We see that friends are good for strength. They can strengthen our hands to work. Think of Moses with Aaron and Hur. Moses was up on top of the mountain, and he was sitting there, or he was standing. You folks probably remember the story. Joshua and the Israelites were fighting down in the valley. And when Moses was on top of the mountain, when he held the rod up, Israel prevailed. But if he let the rod down, the enemy prevailed. So Moses and Hur were up there with him, and they got this wonderful idea. They said, we're going to set Moses down on a rock. We're going to have him sit on the rock, and we're going to stand on either side of him and hold his hands up so he can hold the rod up so that the victory can be won. What a wonderful picture of friends being good for strength, giving him strength in his arms, and wonderful for being good for service so that the people of the Lord can prevail. Friends are amazing for strength. Good for strength. They can be like Aaron and Hur standing there. Maybe you feel like you can't hold your arms up any longer. You're there and your arms are getting weak, but your friends can stand there and help you hold your arms up and give you strength. They can help you, encourage you to keep serving the Lord. Say, hey, if you let your arms down, you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe your people aren't going to continue to win if you let your arms down. You can't put your arms down. You need to keep your arms up. Keep serving the Lord. Keep going forward for Him. We see friends are good for strength. Friends are good for service. If you're still there in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 10 and 12, show us our next point. Friends are not only good for strength, they're not only good for service, they're also good for standing. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Verse number 12 continues, it says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We see here that friends are good for standing. What does it say? If the one falls, the other one will help him up. It says, woe unto him that is alone when he falls, because there's no one there to help him. What a wonderful picture of the church. When one of us falls, there's people here to help us, lift us up. In the book of Hebrews, we see this point once again, a very familiar verse regarding the church is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. But I want us to look at the verse before that this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. This gives us a reason for going to church. We read the verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We read that, but verse 24 gives us even a little bit more reason to go to church. Verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then we see verse 25 continue, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but that phrase, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We see here the importance of meeting together with our friends. And I like to think of the church as a group of friends. I know that sometimes we have disagreements and we have things that don't, but most friends do, right? But the fact is that we're supposed to provoke each other, what? Unto love and unto good works. And we're supposed to exhort one another. We need to be friends who are trying to help each other, encouraging each other to stand. And that goes right along with service. Standing, just like service, is not always easy. The Bible encourages us over and over, stand fast in the Lord, stand fast in the faith, stand fast in His strength. And we see all these different things about how we're supposed to stand fast. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes standing for the Lord isn't always easy. Sometimes we need that encouragement. Sometimes we say, hey, just like I said with Moses and Aaron and her, they said, hey, you need to keep going forward. You need to keep standing for the Lord. You don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's coming behind you. You don't know the little eyes that might be watching. You don't know the grown-up eyes that might be watching you, saying, hey, I'm looking at them as an example for fill in the blank, a marriage, a walk with God, a prayer life, whatever it is. You say, hey, I'm watching them. And if they fall, that's going to hurt me. If they fall, I need to encourage them to keep standing because I'm watching them. Maybe I need to say, hey, I'm watching you. Or you need to realize that, hey, someone is watching you. I believe everyone has someone that's looking up to them. From the youngest person here to the oldest person here, there's someone watching you. Now, it might be a child. It might be a friend. It might be a coworker. It might be someone that you don't even know is watching you. We think obviously of the, like at school, you know, you tell the upperclassmen, oh, the younger kids are watching you, which is very true. But the fact is that kids watch their parents. We see maybe a niece or a nephew, someone who doesn't have a solid home, can be looking at their aunt and uncle or a cousin who has a good marriage and a strong relationship with the Lord. And the fact of the matter is that we need to keep standing and we need to be going forward for the Lord. And a good way to get that encouragement is through our friends. We need to be looking for that encouragement. We need to be looking for, when we come to church, look for the encouragement from our friends. Don't say, when someone says, hey, it's good to see you, or oh, I've been praying for you, don't just say, oh, well, they just have to say that. You know, I think sometimes we say, oh, we think that in our minds. I know sometimes if I'm in a bad mood or something, which isn't very often, but if I'm not feeling well or something like that, and someone says something, it's like, oh, you know, you just have to say that. It's like, oh, how are you doing today? I'm doing good. Well, are you really, or are you just saying that? But the fact is that sometimes we say, oh, well, they have to say that, but think about this. If we look at it like, hey, they're just trying to encourage me, how wonderful that'll be for us. Maybe they are just saying it. Maybe they don't care at all how you're doing. But if you look at it as, hey, they care about me. They're trying to encourage me. Even if they're not. If they just say, hey, they care about me. They want me to keep standing for the Lord. They like it when I'm here. They want me to keep doing something. They want me to keep serving. They want to strengthen my hands. They want to keep me standing for the Lord so I can go forward. So, because there's someone watching me that maybe I don't even know. If we look at it like, hey, they want to encourage me, that'll be better for us. They'll have to deal with their bad attitude some other time. But let's just focus on, hey, how encouraging that would be to us if every time someone said, hey, how are you doing? We said, man, they really care about me. If every time someone said, hey, it's good to see you, we said, man, they really like it when I'm here. How wonderful that would be for us. The local church is a wonderful place to surround yourself with friends. But just on another point here that goes along with this standing in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, we see this verse, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Notice this verse that he's saying, if someone falls, that the spiritual are supposed to help him. The spiritual are supposed to restore him. The mature Christians, the one who know, it says that they're supposed to consider themselves lest they fall too. May I suggest that you surround yourself with good spiritual friends? May I suggest that you surround yourself with people so if you fall, if you fall, whether it be just on a hard time and you're just really down, or if you fall into a fault and you do something wrong that you shouldn't, may I suggest that you surround yourself with spiritual, mature Christians who will help you. Not people who look down and I knew he wasn't going to make it. Not people at work who don't care at all how you live spiritually. Not people in the world who are just looking for another Christian statistic they can say, oh, see, they're no different than we are. Not those people. People in the church who truly care about you, that want you to stand for the Lord, that want you to serve the Lord, that want you to be strong in the Lord. People who care about you. I want you to surround yourself with those folks so when you have trouble, they can say, hey, let me help you. Or when you fall into something that you shouldn't be in, they say, hey, you need to, let me help you get right. Let me help you get back to where you're supposed to be standing. Let me help you strengthen you. Let me help you get back into the service. We see friends are good for strength. Friends are good for service. They strengthen our hands. They encourage us to serve. Friends are good for standing. They encourage us to stand. But we see lastly and most importantly this morning, we see in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a verse I quoted earlier. It says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." But the second part of this verse is where we're going to look here for a moment. It says, "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Notice that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In John chapter 15, we see this echoed in John 15, verses 13 through 15. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Not only is our friends good for strength, not only are friends good for service, and not only are they good for standing, but we see a friend is necessary for salvation. We see our friends in the local church are good for a lot of things, but we see there is a friend, one friend that is necessary for our salvation. We see that Christ is that friend. Christ is the friend who sticks closer than a brother in Proverbs. He's the one who laid down his life for us. He's the one that gave his life so that we could know salvation. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Christ is that friend. He wants to be close to us. He wants to have that friendship. You know, I mentioned that the friend, in the introduction, I mentioned the friend that you want to be friends with, but they don't want to be friends with you. They're cold and indifferent towards you. And how many people are that way with Christ? Christ wants to be friends with us. Christ says that he laid down his life for his friends. He called sinners friends. He called the people who killed him, who crucified him to the cross, his friends. But the fact is that many are indifferent. They're cold towards him. He wants to talk to them, and they don't want to strike up the conversation. He wants to be close to them, and they say he wants to be friendly to us. He wants to have a friendship with them, and to have that friendship is simple. First of all, they have to do is realize that he loves them. We need to realize Christ loves us. John 3:16, I just quoted it a moment ago. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves you. And if you're saved this morning, you know that, but I need to remind you that God does love you. God wants to be close to you. He wants to have that friendship with you. But we see the friendship with him is simple. Realize he loves you. Realize that you've sinned. And there's a penalty for that sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But Romans 6:23, it tells us also, "The wages of sin is death." We've all sinned. Everyone who's sinned, from anyone who's ever walked this earth, has sinned besides Christ. And the wages of that sin is death. And that's not just talking about being dying and being buried in the ground. That's talking about a second death, a death in hell of torment, separation from God. You realize that we've sinned and there's a penalty for it. We also need to realize that Christ died to pay the penalty for us. The remainder of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5, 8 also says, "But God commendeth toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's friendship. You see, greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. We see that Christ died for us before we were even friendly to him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we realize Christ loves us, if we realize we've sinned and there's a penalty for it, if we realize Christ paid that penalty for us to take us to heaven, all we have to do is ask him to forgive us of our sins and to save us. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That sounds like a friend that can never be matched on earth. He died for us. He laid down his life for us while we were sinners. We weren't friends with him, but he died for us. He says, all you got to do, all you have to do to be saved is call upon me. What a wonderful friendship that is. But just like, as I said, that friend that you might want to be friends with them, but they don't want to be friends with you. You know, you can keep trying and trying and trying. That's how God is. He's always there tapping on your heart. Even now. Many have just pushed him off and said, "Oh, I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm good. I go to church often and all those things." But he just sits there and taps on our heart. He just taps there. And if you're saved, he still likes to tap on our heart, doesn't he? We're saved, but he still taps on our heart and says, "Hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Aren't you my friend? Aren't we friends?" We say, "You're my friends if you do what I command you." That salvation, he sits there and he taps on your heart until you finally say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that you died for me. I know that there's a penalty for my sin, but you took that penalty. I want you to come into my heart and save me." But for the Christian, he sits there and taps as well and says, "Hey, you know you shouldn't be doing that." He taps on your heart and says, hey, you know I've commanded you to do some things. Are you doing those things that you're supposed to be doing?" And he sits there and he taps on our heart and says, "Hey, we're supposed to be friends. Hey, I gave my life for you. I gave my life for you before you even cared who I was." And he says, "Hey, all I want is your reasonable service," is what he asks of us. That's a thing that we need to be around our friends in church. Right? The Lord can tap on our heart and say, "Hey, I need you to be." And you can get that strength to serve from your friends. That encouragement to serve and that strength to go forward, that to stand for him from your friends. Like any good friend, Christ doesn't want us anything bad to happen to us. He certainly doesn't want us to die and go to hell. So he taps on our heart. He taps on our heart until we surrender in salvation. And then once we're saved, he taps on our heart some more until we surrender our lives to him. And then once we surrender, he taps on our heart some more until we say, "Lord, just fill me. I'll do whatever you want me to do." And then he taps on our hearts some more when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then we can get that right. And then we go a little further and he taps on our hearts some more and says, "Hey, I want you to be doing a little more for me." And then we go a little further and he taps on our hearts some more and says, hey, you're kind of stumbling back into what we talked about a few times ago." And it's a constant thing. But he sits there as a good friend and says, "Hey, you shouldn't be doing that." He sits there and gives us strength as a good friend. He sits there and encourages us to serve as a good friend. He sits there and encourages us to stand as a good friend, right there in our heart, just trying to help us, trying to make sure we do what we're supposed to be doing. He never stops tapping on our heart. We can block it out, blocked it out for salvation. They've heard the gospel and they just say, "No, I don't need that. No, I don't need that. I'm a good person. I don't need that church stuff." They block it out, but he's still tapping. They might have suppressed it. They might not listen to it anymore, but he's still there. Tapping on their heart. And we as Christians, how many times does he tap on our heart? And we say, no, Holy Spirit, I don't need that right now. I don't need to be doing more for you. I don't need to serve you more. I don't need to get that sin out of my life. And we push it down and we can't hear that tapping quite as well. But he's still there. He's still tapping on our heart. He's saying, "Hey, are you going to be my friend? Are you going to be best friends with me? Are you going to be someone that wants nothing more than to be close to me? That's what God wants. God wants to be close to us. He laid down his life for us. He showed us the greatest love that he could ever show us. And all he wants is to be friends with us. He just wants to be close to us. He just wants to have that fellowship with us. And he wants us to live for him. We see that a friend is necessary for salvation. And that's Christ. Christ is that friend. He's the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way to get to the Father. And we see that we can have friends in church, and they're wonderful. And we spent most of the message this morning talking about how wonderful those friends are and how important they are and what we need them for. And we need them to stand for God, that we need them to serve God, that we need them to get the strength when we don't think we can go on. But the fact is that all that means nothing if we're not saved. All that means nothing if we haven't trusted Christ as Savior. But if we have, if you're here this morning and you haven't trusted Christ, I encourage you to come down front and me or a pastor or someone will show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And if you have trusted Christ, I want to ask you, is there something that he's tapping on your heart about? Is he tapping on your heart? Is he saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that? Hey, you should be doing something for me. Hey, you know what my word says about that. We've been friends for a long time. You've been saved a long time. We've been friends for a long time, but you know that you shouldn't be doing that thing, or you should be doing something more for me. This morning, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about, are you responding to the friendship of Christ, whether it be at salvation or service, him asking you to do something for him? And I want you to also think, are you the kind of friend that is encouraging others to stand for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be strengthened in the Lord? Someone who is standing next to, whether it be the pastor or someone else, and holding up their hands so that they can do something for the Lord. Are you a friend like that? Are you a spiritually mature friend that if someone falls, you would help them up? If someone falls, you would lift them up? If they're going through a trouble, are you there to say, hey, brother, I understand. I want to help you. Hey, sister, I want to help you. Or are you someone that says, I knew they weren't cut out for this? That's not a friend. I want to encourage us to respond to the friendship of Christ at salvation. Respond to the friendship of Christ when he says, hey, I want you to surrender to me. And then work on ourselves. Hey, am I the kind of friend that a Christian would want to be friends with? Am I the kind of friend that says, hey, you can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You need to serve the Lord with gladness. You need to stand for the Lord, stand fast in him, and hey, I'm right here to help you. If you need anything, just ask me. If you need some encouragement, just call me. I'll talk to you. If you're struggling with something, call me. I'll pray with you. If you fall into something that you shouldn't be in, just call me, and I'll help you up, and we'll get back to Christ, and I'll help you return to where you're supposed to be. Are you that kind of friend this morning? Have you responded to Christ? Have you responded to Christ's friendship at salvation? Have you obeyed him in being his friend when he asked you for surrender and for service? And are you the kind of friend that encourages other Christians to stand for Christ, to serve Christ, and to get strength from Christ? I hope this morning that we are. This is a group of friends, I think. We're a church family. We're a group of friends that rely on each other. And I hope that we would look at our heart and say, yeah, I want to help everyone be strong in the Lord. I want to give everyone strength. I want to encourage people to stand. I want them to know that if they're going through something, they can call me. I want them to know that I'm someone who they can lean on for help when they're going through something. I want them to know that I'm someone who will gladly help them serve the Lord. But look into your heart, look into your mind and say, am I living my life that way? Am I that Christian? Am I that friend to my church family? Are you someone who has responded to Christ's friendship? And then are you someone who is a Christian friend to others? I hope that you are. I hope that this church is a place where you feel the friendship of the Lord, where we can serve the Lord together, where we can get strength in the Lord together, where we can stand for the Lord together, where we can respond to the Lord's friendship together in the time that remains, so that we can reach more for Christ, so that we can do more for Christ, so that we can go forward, so we can make sure that we're each as close to Christ as we can be, so that we're doing everything that we can until he comes for us and takes us home, until he takes us home one by one or at the same time. I pray that this morning you're someone who is responsive to Christ, but then also someone who is a friend, a Christian friend, to the people who call you friend. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you want to have friends, you want to have Christian friends, then you have to be a Christian friend. Be someone who shows the strength of the Lord, someone who encourages service for the Lord and encourages standing for the Lord, but is also responsive when Christ is trying to talk to you, when he's asking you about your friendship with him. Let's be friendly to each other. Let's be friends to Christ. Let's be friends that want to do something for Christ together, that want to go forward, that want to reach the world, that want to do something to impact the world for Christ. Not just come to church and be friends together here. This is wonderful. I love church. I love singing together. I love the specials. I love the preaching service. I love all of it. It's wonderful. But not just this. This isn't the whole part of the church. The rest of it is to go out and to win others. Let's be friends that encourage each other to do that. To reach the world, to impact the world for Christ, to serve God, to be strong in Christ, to stand for him, and to be responsive to him when he's speaking to us.